songs, the special songs, thankful for the talent that the Lord has blessed with, thankful for the young talent that there is in the church, and that they're willing to stand up and serve the Lord the way that they do. Appreciate the songs, and again, as I mentioned the song earlier, Blessed Assurance, the song that Sister Kaylee sang, the thoughts that are conveyed in that song are very much what has been on my heart today, and I want to ask for your prayers. You know, it's not a problem for the Lord to place upon my heart what he wants me to deliver, but for me to convey it, that's where it gets tough, and so I want to ask for your prayers today, and I want to read as a scripture reading today. I want to read two verses from two different psalms, one verse from each of them, and the first one is found in Psalm 29, verse 2. And it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory, due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And then in the 147th Psalm, in the first verse of that psalm, Psalm 147, verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." And with those two verses being read, I want to ask you to note that in these two verses, in the verse there in Psalm 29, verse 2, it spoke about worshiping the Lord. And in Psalm 147, verse 1, it spoke about giving praise to the Lord. And those are the things that I want to speak about today. I want to speak for just a little while about worship and praise. And we are taught in multiple places throughout the scriptures that we are to worship the Lord and that we are to praise the Lord. And something that I found interesting, and I could be wrong about this, if I am, that's fine. Perhaps my research wasn't complete enough, but I found it interesting that as many times as these two words, worship and praise, are used in the scriptures, I couldn't find these two terms in the same verse anywhere. Now, they may be, but I just couldn't find that. But many, many times throughout the scriptures, these two thoughts are conveyed that we are to worship and praise the Lord, and he's worthy of that. He's worthy of both of those things. And we find some things that the Lord Jesus Christ said about worship. One in the fourth chapter of Matthew, I believe, and one in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus, when he was being tempted of the devil, and the devil wanted him to bow down and worship him, Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And so we are not to worship anybody or anything but the Lord. We, as we said, we find these things many times. And I want to give a dictionary definition of both of these words. This is just something that I looked up in Webster's dictionary. But he said that to worship is to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration, to worship. That's what we have come here today to do. We have assembled together in a worship service, and we have come today to adore the Lord, to pay honor and respect and reverence to the one that's worthy, and to praise. He said, praise is the expression of gratitude for personal favors conferred, a glorifying or extolling. And we find that both of these things require action on our part. If we're going to worship the Lord, if we're going to praise the Lord, we're going to have to put those things into action. And so, you know, that's what we are doing when we stand and we testify of the great things that the Lord has done. We are giving Him praise. We are making expression of gratitude for the things that He has done for us. And we know that, again, two verses that you've heard me speak of quite often, found in the first chapter of the Epistle of James in verses 16 and 17. James said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now, I want you to also, and I wrote this down when I heard it, Brother Mike Wheat, when he was teaching the Sunday school class up here this morning, he made this statement. He said, "We all have times of troubles and concerns," and we do, don't we? And we, as we live here in this world, we learn that that's true. We learn that what Jesus told us that we would experience in the world, that it comes to pass. When the Lord said, "In the world you shall have tribulation," and so Brother Mike said that we all experience that. You know, there's none of us that go through this life trouble-free. There's none of us that go through this life go through this life and reach adulthood that don't know what it means to have troubles. I thought about Sister Kaylee when she was singing this morning about how that God is God on the mountain. He's the same God in the valley. And I remembered back to just shortly after I had come here to be the pastor, that she had went through some very difficult physical problems as a child, and at her young age already knows what it is to have trials and to go through valleys. And we oftentimes, we don't have to live in the world very long to experience those things, to experience the fact that in this life that we have troubles. But, you know, the thought that overwhelmed me this week, the thought that God gave me was that, you know, I want to worship the Lord, and I want to praise the Lord, and I want to try to not let anything stop me from doing that. No matter what condition that I find myself in, no matter what state or circumstances that I find myself in, I want to worship and praise the Lord because He deserves that. He's worthy of that. No matter what's going on with me, no matter what my circumstances are, there's never a reason for me not to worship the Lord and to praise the Lord and to give Him thanks. You know, I know this, that especially for somebody that has been saved by God's grace and been given an eternal home in heaven when life is over, no matter how difficult life here on earth may be, we always have great reason to praise the Lord, don't we? We have great reason to give Him thanks because that one special gift is enough to praise Him for all eternity if we never received anything else from His gracious hands. That is enough for us to render unto Him eternal praise. And so we need to be determined. I believe that we will never let anything stop us, that we will not let the devil take away our joy, that we will not let anything rob us of the joy of the Lord, that we will not allow anything to stop us from our worship and praise of Almighty God. And so, you know, I think that that we all, you know, have experienced this, that it seems like perhaps it's easy for us to do those things when we are in what we consider to be a very good state or a very happy state. You know, when we do have those times when God lifts us up and we're on the mountain, perhaps we are more prone to thank Him and praise Him and worship Him when that is the condition of our life. But, you know, we should be able to do the same thing. We should be able to worship Him just the same and praise Him just the same when we find ourselves in those deep, dark valleys and in times of trial. And we have scriptural examples of that, and I want to share some of them with you in this message, where we are told some things and given some examples and situations in the scriptures where people did that. They worshiped the Lord. They praised the Lord in what seemed to be the most trying circumstances of life. They were able to do those things. And I know that we have all perhaps, well, maybe not all, but perhaps some have known someone in your life that, you know, they were serving the Lord. They were, things were going well and they were serving the Lord, but a big trial came upon them. A hardship fell upon them, and what they did was they fled from the Lord. They forsook the Lord. They perhaps blamed the Lord for what had happened to them. But listen, we should never do that. We should never turn against God. We should never blame God. We should expect, if we, as I said earlier, if we look at what we have been told in His Word, what Jesus forewarned us about, then we shouldn't expect to live a life that's free of troubles and free of heartaches in here. Listen, for the children of God, we're not home yet, but we're on our way there, and there is a land that will be that where we will abide for eternity. And I promise you, according to the things said in God's Word, that it will be a trouble-free place. It will be free of all trials and all heartaches and all sorrows and cares. And the Scriptures tell us that it's a place where God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and we won't experience anymore the things that sadden us here on the earth. And we will be able there to give God eternal praise. But listen, the things that we experience in this life, the things that are difficult for us, you know, we need to remember that it was man that chose to sin against God. God did not force man to do that. God made man and gave man everything that he needed to be happy here on the earth, and gave him a law to keep, and it was man that chose to sin against God, that chose to disobey God. And when he did, it brought not only death as a result of that, but many of the hardships of life can be blamed upon that. Many of the things that we face in life can be associated with the fact that there's sin in the world. And there will be until this world is destroyed. And so we should find ourselves able to worship in all situations. I want to worship the Lord and praise Him when it's well with my health. But I pray that when it's not, when I find my body sick and weakened, that I can give Him the same praise. And when nothing, you know, when the day seems to be going well and nothing seems to be bothering me, I pray that when it's just the opposite, when nothing seems to be going right with the day, that I can lift up my eyes to the Lord and say, God, You're so good. You are so worthy of being praised, and You are so worthy of worship. And I want to be able to do, as we said in the third, as we find recorded rather in the 34th Psalm, in the first verse, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And in the 40th Psalm, the psalmist there spoke about how the Lord had brought him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He said, He placed my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And I believe that the Lord does that for us and to us when He saves us. He puts something in our mouth. And I've heard that, you know, I've heard that quoted before as saying that the Lord put a new song in my heart. Well, He did that, but that's not what the psalmist told us there. He said that He's put a new song in my mouth. You know, we have been given a voice. We can speak, and we can use that to verbally and vocally praise the Lord. And I love it, don't you? I love to be assembled with God's people and hear them begin to openly praise Him. And to, you know, sometimes you witness somebody standing up when we are assembled to worship, and you can almost look at that person's countenance, and you can see, well, there's somebody that has just got to praise the Lord. They have just got to give God thanks. They've just got to let it be known. The Lord is moving on them and stirring their heart, and they've just got to let it be known how good that He is. God's good, isn't He? I mean, there's nobody like the Lord. You know, we can give gifts one to another. Jesus spoke about that in the 7th chapter of Matthew. He spoke about parents, even though we are evil, being able to give gifts unto our children. And He said, if you then, being evil, can do that, how much more shall God give good gifts unto those that ask Him? How much greater are the gifts of God than those that come from any other source? How much greater are they because God can bestow upon us spiritual gifts? I believe that God blesses us with temporal gifts. I believe that He gives us temporal blessings from day to day. I'm afraid that too often God blesses me in ways that I fail to even acknowledge, ways that I overlook, that He blesses me in ways that I take for granted and fail to give Him thanks. But listen, the greatest gifts of God are spiritual gifts, and the greatest gift that man has ever known is the blessing of salvation that can only come from the Lord. There's a song that we sing from time to time. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. That's a well-written song, isn't it? And that's good instruction, and that's right out of the Scriptures. Because the Bible tells us that God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. I want you to think about this. I want you to go back for a moment with me to a chapter that perhaps those of you that are Bible readers may be like me. You may have read this chapter many times. I want you to think about what we find in the first chapter of the book of Job. We are told about a man who was, the Bible says that he was perfect and upright, that he feared God, that he shunned evil. And there was a course, through the course of a day, there was all sorts of things that happened to him. I mean, there was just all sorts of trials that he went through in the course of a day. He lost his wealth. He was wealthy in livestock. He lost them. He had 10 children, and they were gathered together in the oldest boy's house, and a great wind came and blew the house down upon them, and he lost his children. He went through all of these horrible trials in the course of a day, and this is what the Bible says he did. He didn't get angry at God. He didn't blame God. He didn't turn away from God. He didn't forsake God. When news came to him of all that had befallen him, this is what Job did. In Job chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. In the midst of all of that, he worshiped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." You know, I think we all know that life can become difficult, but honestly, I'm never justified to complain about anything. But we do, don't we? Sometimes we do worse than that. Sometimes we throw pity parties. Sometimes we even say, "Oh, woe is me, you know, this has happened to me and this has happened to me," and we begin to feel so sorry for ourselves. But listen, God has grace sufficient. Aren't you glad about this? God has grace sufficient to sustain us in every trial that we face in life. And we have an account there in Paul writing to the church at Corinth of his infirmity in the flesh. We have account of him praying that God would take that away. And that wasn't what the Lord chose to do. God did not choose to take away his thorn in the flesh. But he did tell him this: "My grace is sufficient for thee." And, you know, God's grace is. And listen, if it were not for the valleys in our lives, if it were not for the trials that we go through, if it were not for the troubles that we face, we would never learn. We would never learn about the power of God's grace. I believe that we learn more about the Lord in the valley than we ever do on the mountain. If it were not for the valleys of life, how close would we really stay to the Lord? We have an account in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles of Paul and Silas being in prison there in Philippi. And they were taken and they were cast, the Bible says, into the inner prison, and their feet were made fast in the stocks. They were in bad surroundings. They found themselves in undesirable circumstances. They were in this dark, dirty, damp dungeon with their feet made fast in stocks. And the Bible tells us that about midnight and think about this and try to get a picture of this, of these two men that, you know, they hadn't committed any crime. They hadn't done anything wrong. They were there. They were being persecuted for their preaching the gospel. They were locked up there, and they were in a horrible place. We don't even really know how bad that place was. But there, the Bible tells us that about midnight, they began to sing. Wouldn't you like to have heard that song, Brother Strode? Been there and hear these men just in a miserable state begin to sing and begin to praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, God likes it. God likes it when he's praised. God inhabits the praises of his people. He loves it. You know, God is pleased when we really begin to lift up our voices and with our hearts, when we really begin to praise the Lord and give honor and glory that's due unto him. He loves it, and he's pleased to make his presence known in a powerful way when we do that. And that's what he did there in that prison when those men, rather than complaining or whining, they just began to, you know, I can just almost envision that and think, here were these men that they looked around at what they were going through, and they said, you know what, God is still good. God is still worthy to be praised. No matter what my situation is, God is worthy. So they just begin to worship. They just begin to sing. They just begin to praise the Lord. And the power of God came down upon that place. It shook the foundation of the prison. The prisoners were freed. And there was such a great witness to that poor jailer that he got saved. God loves to be praised. I started praying a prayer. I've shared this a time or two. I started praying a prayer a long time ago. And I don't know why, but it just became important to me. It just came up on my heart several years ago, and I began to pray this prayer, Lord, that the Lord would not only help me to try to live well, but that he would help me to try to die well. You know, we ought to have a desire to glorify God in life and a desire to glorify him in death. And I'll tell you what, I think God gets the greatest honor out of us and the greatest glorification from us when we praise him and honor him and worship him in the trials of life. You ever seen anybody that you just looked at and you just thought, my goodness, what they're going through, how could they be so prone to be thankful and to praise the Lord with all that they're facing? And it's a real testimony when that happens. I mean, that was a great testimony there in that prison when those men begin to praise the Lord. I want to read something here before I stop, found in the fourth chapter of Paul's writing to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 12, Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Worship is something that takes place in a state of great humility. Oftentimes, when you read the scriptures where it talks about worship, it associates the term bowing down or falling down before Him and worshiping. Worship takes place with great humility in your heart. You know what you're doing? You're acknowledging the one that's much greater than what you are. God's worthy of worship, but there's nobody else that is. And so it's a great humbling experience when we can truly worship the Lord. And Jesus said there in the fourth chapter of John that if we're going to do it, that it has to be done in spirit and in truth. He said, "They that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and worship Him and Him alone." And those are the thoughts that the Lord had placed upon my heart. I'm glad that no matter what befalls me in this life, I have so much to be thankful for. So much. Some of you here, I've witnessed you facing things that I've not had to. And I've been able to see that God is there with you and helping you and sustaining you. And that's a great witness that what God puts in our heart. You know, I mean, you think about it. All that Job had come upon him, for him to be able to worship in that state, he had to have something real, didn't he? I mean, he had to have something that would enable him to do that. And I'm thankful that no matter what, I've got so much to thank God for, so much to praise Him for. So I appreciate your attention today, and I hope that something's been said that's been helpful to somebody in some way. I would like for us to have a song. It will take the ladies a few minutes to get things ready downstairs. I'd like to ask everybody to stand and let's have a song. And let's just praise the Lord and give Him honor and glory for who He is. You know, sometimes we need to just praise Him for who He is, regardless of anything else. Just praise God for who He is and for His great power. So let's stand and sing.
As my wife is my witness, this song, I already had it picked out. But let's turn to number 221 before Brother Miller said anything. I promise. Everybody stand. 221, let's just praise the Lord.